Dear friends, I greet you in Jesus' name. We are on the last part of a three-part sermon series on your GPS for life. As you know, if you've been here from week to week, I'm using this series as a vehicle for sharing with you some of the things that I learned on my sabbatical, and also to help us as a congregation as we try to figure out what our discipleship walk should be like in the months and years ahead. I carry with me three strong impressions that I brought back from my travels, and this is what they are: pilgrimage, family, and lifestyle. First, discipleship is a pilgrimage, which you walk step by step. It's a long haul, and you need to walk it by faith. Second, this pilgrimage is not a solitary exercise, but it's a journey that you go on with your family, that family that Jesus redefined. God is your father, and if that is true, then your community of faith is your family. You walk with your family. And third, which we're working on today, is lifestyle. Mission is more than an occasional task. It is rather a lifestyle built on relationships and driven by the compassion that God shows for his world. Pilgrimage, family, and lifestyle. As I share these thoughts and impressions with you, I am sowing seeds, just sharing some ideas, giving you some ideas that will take shape as we go along. This is not yet a fully fledged map, but it's more like milestones that help us to mark our path. We are learning as we go what it means to look and act like Jesus' disciples. This series provides a kind of a GPS that helps us stay on track as we walk the path of discipleship, aiming for our goal of becoming a family on mission. That's where we're headed, to become a family on mission. So we begin with small changes, trusting that small changes will lead to big changes. What starts as disciplines become habits, and finally habits become a lifestyle. So what is a missional lifestyle? And how does that differ from doing mission? Well, let me illustrate. A young soldier on basic training began to display some rather unusual characteristics. He started to wander around base and randomly pick up different pieces of paper, sniffing them and tossing them aside, muttering, "That's not it, that's not it." Well, somebody noticed, and pretty soon he was given a fairly thorough mental health assessment, and at the end of the day, he was given a medical discharge. When he was given those discharge papers, true to form, picked them up and sniffed them, and then brightening said, "That's it," and he walked out the door a free man. Now, we might have some serious questions about this young man's values, right, and his patriotism. But he clearly had a purpose, and he devoted all his energies to fulfilling that purpose. Everything he said and did was directed towards that goal until it was achieved. In a more positive sense, we could say the same thing about the Apostle Paul. His goal was to make disciples of Jesus throughout the whole world in response to the Great Commission. Paul didn't just do missions. He was missional in all he did. I want you to hear that. Paul didn't just do missions. He was missional in all he did. His life was centered on mission and shaped by that passion. Paul had a missional lifestyle. Now, mission begins with God. The heart of God reaches out to his broken world and starts the ball rolling. Check out our first lesson, where God heard the cry of his enslaved people and he had compassion on them and began a rescue operation. Throughout Scripture, you can see the heart of God to rescue and to heal, to forgive and to save. God achieves the rescue by his power and his presence, but he calls us to participate in that mission. In this case, he called Moses. After Moses, he called many more and he sent them out. Later on, he sent the Apostle Paul. Mission begins in the heart of God, and then it extends to us. You will notice in both our first and second lessons that those whom God calls inevitably require a change of heart. Moses was reluctant. Paul was misguided. Each presented barriers to God's mission until God stepped in and changed their hearts. He persuaded Moses to go by promising that God would be with him and that he would work through him various signs and miracles, and he did. God kept his promises and worked in very spectacular ways as he freed his people from Egypt and led them to the promised land. With Paul, Jesus had to persuade him that he, Jesus, was indeed the Son of God and the promised Messiah. The appearance of the risen Christ really got Paul's attention, and Jesus changed his heart so that instead of working to destroy the church, Paul was turned around 180 degrees and began to build it up. God calls you and me to participate in his mission, and he changes our hearts so that we can do it. A missional life is, first of all, a changed life. Changed hearts turn into changed lives. When you are wholeheartedly given over to God, it makes a difference in what you do. We see that in Moses. We see that again in Paul and in the lives of many, many others. The center of your life becomes Christ, and your goal becomes a matter of following him and sharing his message of salvation. Mission, outreach, becomes more than just an occasional task or a task that is given over to experts. Mission becomes the lifestyle of every disciple. So what does a missional lifestyle look like? I had a chance to see this on sabbatical, not just in one place, but in several places. Not just in big churches, but also in small churches. It happens at every age level and in all denominations. I'd like to give you some examples, knowing that San Jose is not Sheffield, and that every congregation is unique. So I'm not suggesting that we do it exactly like others have done it. Doesn't always work that way. Rather, let's just take a look and see what we can learn. I'll give you some examples, and then I'll suggest some first steps. One thing that I saw was households, families, would see themselves on a mission, as being missional together. It's more than just doing family like what you do on a family reunion. They have a specific common mission, and this becomes like the propeller in their household. They are missional, and it drives what they do. And it's a lifestyle that begins with prayer. So they told me how they would deliberately make time to share and pray together as a family. In one household, which was made up of single people, this was really a challenge because they all had different work schedules. But they worked it out and they managed to do it. As they pray for people, they begin to reach out to them. Members of the family see themselves as missionaries, reaching out to friends and associates, not only adults, but children as well. It becomes kind of like a family business. You know, everyone is in it together, But it starts with prayer. Family then spills out over into community. I heard stories and strategies. In Sheffield, the whole congregation stages Love Sheffield Days 4 times a year. On those days, everyone in the congregation wears Love Sheffield t-shirts and they go out to do a particular task. Maybe one day it's picking up trash, or maybe it's another day, maybe around Valentine's or Halloween's, they would hand out candy. If asked, they would also give a card with the church's contact info. Kids love these activities, and so does the community. And I'm told that over time, the community begins to anticipate these days, and people join in, you know? So Love Sheffield Days do two things. They begin to identify the church. Everybody in the church now knows St. Thomas's, right? And it shapes the community as businesses and other churches join in. Such a simple thing, such a great result. Small communities within the church begin to emerge. These communities are made up of maybe 25, 30 people who share a common passion to serve a certain segment of their community. Maybe it's a particular neighborhood, or maybe it's the families of a certain soccer team. Maybe it's the workplace. Maybe it's a marginalized segment of the population that they want to serve in a particular way. In Portland, one church served an institution near the church called Shepherd's Door. This is a ministry to young mothers in crisis, very similar to what City Team does with Heritage Home. One small community in the church makes this their missional outreach. Once a month, they meet at Shepherd's Door with a sole aim of developing relationships. It tends not to be task-related, you know, like making a dinner for them, but more relational, like an activity with mothers and their children. Their goal is to get to know these women, to earn their trust, and to meet whatever needs are appropriate. Over time, these women begin to join that small group meeting in their homes because they're coming to faith. Their lives and the lives of their children begin to turn around. It's God's doing. That's what God does. He changes lives. He turns lives around. This group has a monthly rhythm in order to keep their lives sustainable, right? After all, they are people like you. They go to work during the day. They come home to families of their own. So this is what that rhythm looks like. Sundays, they gather for regular worship at church. As a small community, they meet weekly, let's say on Mondays. So on the first and the third Mondays, they gather in somebody's home to care for each other and to disciple one another. They arrive as families to eat and to enjoy each other's company. Then, as children go down to the basement or wherever for their own activities, older teens and adults share in groups of twos or threes, and they pray for one another. Then, as a whole group, they study God's word. The second and fourth Mondays are different. On the second Monday, they set it aside for outreach, and this is when they go to Shepherd's Door. And the fourth Monday, they call Connect. This time, they don't meet as a group, but they connect with other people in their lives. Maybe it's just their own household. Maybe they need to reconnect after some time. Or maybe they have a barbecue and they invite a friend or a neighbor along with a couple from their small group. This friend might later be invited to serve at Shepherd's Door. And there again, they meet the people that they have met before at the barbecue. It's a simple way of getting neighbors and co-workers connected with a community of faith, because people like to serve, right? They like to do that. Oh, and what about if there's a fifth Monday in the month? On the fifth Monday, they party. That's right. So this rhythm, discipleship, service, connect, and party, makes their missional lifestyle sustainable and enjoyable. When you begin to care for people like this, it becomes a part of your lifestyle. What you do is making a difference, and that's really rewarding. In fact, it becomes addicting, and pretty soon you can't imagine any other kind of life. Over time, your thinking becomes more and more relational. You know, who can I reach out to? Whom can I serve? And who will come along with me? Over time, your life becomes missional in character. Do you see what I'm aiming at? It's not rocket science. It's really simple. A missional lifestyle means that following Jesus becomes a driving force in your life. As you pray and learn and serve each other, it satisfies something inside of you unlike any other thing. Your heart is changed, and this is God's doing. Your family is changed as your children grow to be a people of prayer and service. Like Moses, you are no longer reluctant, but resolved. Like Paul, your life is no longer misguided, but Christ-guided. I want you to hear this. A missional lifestyle is not as hard or as time-consuming as you might think. The people I met were normal folks just like you, with homes, families, and demanding work schedules. And yet, they told me, I love this. This is simple. This is what I was meant to do. Essentially, they said, you take what you're already doing and you invite other people in. So let me suggest some first steps towards a missional lifestyle. First, begin with prayer. Remember, this is God's doing. Open up the lines of communication with God. Make your prayer time not only those chance opportunities here and there during your day, which isn't bad, but also an intentional time that you spend with God, which is even better. At the beginning of the summer, Pastor Dan called us to this kind of a life of prayer. It's one of those things that requires your attention in the beginning until the discipline becomes a habit and the habit becomes a lifestyle. Move intentionally towards a lifestyle of prayer. Without the power of God, you can do nothing. Second, pray around God's word. Listen for his voice. Let your reading morph into prayer. The Psalms are a great starting place, although you can use almost any part of Scripture. But let's just use an example from Psalm 127, where it says, unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. Reading that, you might pray something like this. O Lord, be the builder of my house, my life. Let me not waste all my efforts on things that are not going to last. Rather, Lord, build a foundation on your love and your ways. Something like that. God's word is a great primer for prayer. Use it not only to learn about God, which is good, but to talk to God, which is better, and to listen for him as he speaks to you through his word. Third, make space for relationships in your life. If you aren't already doing so, attend a Bible study. Reading God's word together not only helps you learn more, it also gives you a venue for developing relationships. Make time for this. Allow yourself to be mentored. Maybe you will find yourself mentoring someone else. A huddle might be the venue for this, especially if you see yourself as a leader in some way. And if not, a missional community might be in your future. I hope so. My friends, we are becoming a family on mission. That's the finish in our discipleship GPS. That's where we're headed. A missional lifestyle begins in your home, and it spills out into your church and into your wider community. Jesus himself set the template, serving his disciples, washing their feet. And the message we share is all about what Jesus did for us on the cross, serving us, saving us in his rescue operation for the world. And he invites you to join in. Amen.